UPS is hiring warehouse workers, package handlers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying up to $21 an hour and offer great benefits, including 100% paid tuition, plus housing for some with our Metro College or Loop programs. Shift your team, shift your future, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference. UPSjobs.com.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Wild enough, baby. If you need me, call me, no matter where you
Welcome
are,
back to your home no for Josh Giddy Talk. Don't worry, this is Issel and Louie. Good morning. 11 o'clock hour here brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. ky.deltadental.com is the website. Give them a look for any of your dental or vision needs. They do offer vision plans through VSP. And so ky.deltadental.com, they'll sponsor us here in the 11 o'clock hour. We are efforting John Clay from the Herald Leader. We'll chat all things with him since the man gets to I got to say, I'm jealous of him, Dan, because he gets to write these articles where he just puts his thoughts out.
Yeah.
Right. And and that's the article. it's not multiple paragraphs about it. It's just, hey, I was thinking about this. I don't like it. It's a good idea. You know, that kind of thing. It's almost like a free thought experiment every time you read John Clay. I really like it.
Yeah. And there are a lot of juicy tidbits. We heard Jack mention in the sports update. The first thing I want to ask him about is Chris Rodriguez. It seems to me like Chris got off pretty lightly. And we are pleased now to welcome in on the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Hotline our dear friend and excellent sports columnist for the Herald Leader, Mr. John Clay. John, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we were just talking about Chris Rodriguez, and I know we were talking about your column yesterday and all of the juicy tidbits that you had in there. It looks to me like Rodriguez got off pretty light.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Considering it was really supposed to be a pretrial conference, which happened yesterday, which was basically where they go over the procedures for the trial. But the prosecution apparently made an offer that they would basically combine a couple of the charges into one charge, making it a little more agreeable for Rodriguez. So he and his attorneys decided to go ahead and plead guilty, and that kind of wraps up that part of it. He has a $200 fine. He has to pay court costs, $700. He has until December to do that. But that wraps up the legal end of it, and now it's up to Kentucky on the football program what Mark Stoops and Mitch Barnhart, what they want to do is as far as some sort of penalty. There's also some kind of scuttlebutt around that there's more going on with Chris than just this, but nobody's been able to really nail that down or confirm that. So really the ball's in UK's court now to see what they will do.
John Clay joining us. Hi, John. Louis Rabeau here. What do you expect those punishments to be from UK? Do you have any idea? Because we have Ben Roberts, your colleague, on Thursdays, and he gave an answer that said something like, you know, it could be two games, it could be the whole season. So I think there's lots of different thoughts within the athletic department. What's your sort of sense of it?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard everything from he won't play this year to just exactly that, where it could be just a couple of games. I think a lot of it depends on what else is going on with Chris besides this. If there is something else going on there, there's some other issues that need to be addressed and so forth. I think there will definitely be some sort of suspension. But I really don't have a good feel for what how long that will be. From what we've heard here lately, his situation looks better than it did maybe a month ago. So I don't think he's going to be. I don't think he'll be suspended for the whole season. But I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he has to sit out maybe the first third of the season, where it might be like a four-game deal. That would be my guess. But that's just a guess.
John, talking about a guess, you led off your column yesterday with the football, college football realignment, and it's just anybody's guess where this is all going to wind up. But where do you think this is all headed, and what do you see as far as the future of college football?
Well, you know, I think college football right now is going through a lot of what you hear about in business and so forth with consolidation. I think leagues are trying to get bigger, and it's all controlled by the television money. I mean, I think USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten was certainly a shock to everybody. But then when you look at it a little closer, the Big Ten is in the middle of television contract rights negotiations with the networks. There's talk that their contract will end up being over $1 billion. To me, I think it's bad. I think it's bad for college football. I think it's bad for USC and UCLA to be in the Big Ten. I mean, it does set up some marquee matchups, but I think overall it's not good for the sport, and I think overall it's not good for the athletic departments when you talk about the Olympic sports and the athletic departments. But there was a story just yesterday in the LA Times about the UCLA's athletic department is in bad financial shape. They got a lot of debt, and they needed to do this to get out of debt, kind of like what Maryland did a few years ago when they jumped from the ACC to the Big Ten. So I think we're going to continue to see the big leagues, especially the SEC and the Big Ten, continue to add members. The way everybody talks right now, the ball's in Notre Dame's court. Everybody's waiting to see what Notre Dame's going to do. Are they going to continue to try to make it as an independent, or will they finally, you know, hitch themselves to one of these conferences? The Big Ten seems to be the logical choice for Notre Dame, but I'm not sure everything that's going on with college football right now is logical, so we'll just have to see what happens.
John Clay joins us. You can find him on Twitter at John Clay IV. John, are you a fourth?
I am a fourth, yes.
I am
and
a
fourth. Was
go ahead.
Oh, you are? Okay, good. It's always good to talk to another fourth. Unfortunately, John Clay IV was taken, so that was a long time ago when I signed up for Twitter, but yeah.
I'm actually a fifth, and I have a sixth in my house. Did you have a fifth in your house?
I did have a fifth house. He now lives in Atlanta. He and his wife, he just got married last year. They do not have children. I don't know if he's going to go the sixth route or not.
it's one of the more ridiculous things. Having the name Louie and then having that moniker after it, it is the most ridiculously royal thing about me. But otherwise, I am very unroyal. John Clay joins us.
Same thing here.
There you go. King John, if you will. So this loose partnership ACC Pac-12 thing, speaking of absurdity, how absurd is it?
It's absurd, but it seems like everything that's going on is absurd.
Right.
To me, the ACC, the Pac-12, the Big 12, they're all kind of floating out there looking for a lifeboat to survive. I mean, the SEC and the Big Ten seem to be running everything, and they're just, how can we find a way to survive and what's going on? I mean, there's talk about the Big 12 maybe trying to take as many as six teams from the Pac-12. Then you get the Pac-12. Yeah, the news yesterday, Pac-12 and ACC, some sort of loose alliance. There was supposed to be an alliance among those conferences that were like a year ago, and that fell apart, you know, pretty quickly. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. There are a lot of people who love college football for the tradition, for the pageantry, for the overall aura of college football. And to me, a lot of that's going away with what we see what's happening, and what people will still continue to be college football fans. I think of Phil Steele, who, you know, puts out the great yearbook every year, preview yearbook. And Phil, I've talked to Phil about this, and I've heard him say on many occasions that if they start, you know, paying the players and do some of the things they talked about, he wouldn't be a college football fan anymore. And now we have NIL and that sort of thing going on. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with the, I just wonder about the traditional college football fan, how they feel about all this.
John, I know it would just be your best guess, but guessing is pretty much all we do on this show. Do you see the SEC adding more teams, or do you think they're happy with it where they are right now?
I think they're pretty happy with where they are right now, but I think they see, you know, I think Greg Sankey sees what the landscape is, and they're open. I really don't think when Texas and Oklahoma a couple of years ago, when it was announced that they were joining the league, I don't know that they were looking to add Texas and Oklahoma. They just didn't want Texas and Oklahoma to go to the Big Ten or go to another league. So, and they felt like, you know, considering the way the league has expanded with Texas A&M, that they would be a good economic fit. So I could see, you know, I could definitely see the SEC adding more teams, but I think they're trying to figure out what, you know, the Big Ten is doing and what these other leagues are doing. I could see easily in the next few years where both the SEC and the Big Ten have 20 schools in there. We'll see. You look at what's going to happen with the ACC with some of those schools. You think, you know, Miami and Florida State would probably be a good geographic fit for the SEC. But is that going to happen? You know, I don't know. We'll see. You know, really, the people who really know what's going on and the people to ask are the TV guys, because they seem to be the ones orchestrating everything. And by the powers that be at the ESPN and Fox, and, you know, now you're seeing the streaming networks get in it. Apple Plus, they said it sort of, they were talking to the Big Ten, and then that kind of cool. But now that USC and UCLA is joining the Big Ten, Apple Plus is apparently now back in negotiations with the Big Ten. So, that's the one that's running the show. Those are the people that are running the show right now, the TV networks.
John Clay joins us. John, you covered UK football from 87 to 2000. And I wanted to ask, do you remember how many winning seasons you covered from 87 to 2000?
I've tried to forget that. No, I don't really remember. I'd have to look at it, but not very many.
It was two.
I tell the story,
and it was 6-5 and 7-5. How about that?
Okay. Yeah. I tell this story all the time. When Hal Mumme came, Chris Hatcher was his at that time was more of a volunteer student assistant. Chris went on to be coach at Murray, and he's at Sanford now. A really great guy. He said, how long have you been covering? When I first met Chris, he goes, how long have you been covering UK football? I said, since 87. He said, you've seen a lot of losing football, haven't you? And I said, yes. But I've seen some winning football here the last few years, which is made up for a lot of that.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about that, because there has been such an incredible culture shift under Mark Stoops. You know, there's starting to be a little bit of chatter and banter and things from coaches and different things about NIL and Mitch Barnhart. How much are you hearing? I mean, Christian Conyer over the weekend commits to Tennessee over Kentucky. How much are you hearing on that front?
Well, I'm hearing a lot from the fans, because Kentucky is off to kind of a slow start in recruiting for 2023. They only have seven commitments. Obviously, looking at Christian Conyer over the weekend, who I think at least one service rates as the number one prospect in the state, cornerback down at South Warren, a guy that Kentucky wanted. But I don't know, you know, that I'm not sure that NIL, I believe NIL is probably playing a factor in everything, but I think it's a little too early to say, oh, Kentucky's having a bad recruiting year, and it's because of NIL. I think part of the frustration on the fans' part is that they don't feel like that Mitch Barnhart has embraced NIL for the way that other schools have, and a lot of that is based on Mitch's comments when they first passed the rule, or when the legislature passed the rule, and we talked to Mitch about it, even though Mitch went to the legislature and was – yes, supportive of having an NIL rule. He just didn't give off the vibe that he, you know, he thought it was a good thing. And then his comments that he made over off of the sport, I mean, and then the comments that he made to Paul Feinbaum down at the SEC spring meetings in Destin, where he said he knew that he had a couple of coaches who were kind of frustrated with him because he was taking a slower approach, a more measured approach to NIL. You know, we'll see. You know, I think Mitch has done a tremendous job, especially for the total athletic program. We'll see how it plays out. You know, with Mark Stoops, I did they had a Concordia at a summit here in Lexington a couple of months ago. Mark and I were on the panel where I was kind of a moderator for a discussion with Mark about NIL, and his point then since then has been, just tell us what the rules are.
Right.
You know, it's hard to know what the rules are. Tell us what the rules are, and we'll adapt to those rules. But he's also voiced some frustration about when you look at Tennessee as a collective. Other schools have put together a collective, and Kentucky seems to have no interest in doing anything like that. You know, he's voiced that you know, that's something that's going to have to be looked at and have to be addressed. But I think Mark's like a lot of coaches. It's like they would like to see some sort of guidelines, and there haven't been any guidelines. I think the NCAA is trying to get Congress involved, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon either.
Yeah, that's always a good thing. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. That would be another great decision on the NCAA's part. Hey, John, you talked about covering winning football here lately. Yesterday in your column, you also mentioned Will Levis, and he seems to be climbing right up the NFL draft board right now.
He's got, you hear these NFL scouts talk all the time about traits. They look for guys who have traits, and Will has all the traits. He has a very strong arm. He's a big kid, a tough kid. He's shown he's mobile, can run. In my column, Greg Cosell, the guy who works for NFL Films, I hear him on a lot of podcasts. He's a guy I really respect. I think he does a really good job. He's been doing it for 40 years, and he was on a podcast down in Nashville. And he was asked about Levis there, and he talked about he had studied Levis's tape, and he said there was a lot to like about Will Levis, and he still needs some refinement. But one thing that Greg mentioned, which I think is a very good point, he played in an NFL offense last year for Liam Cohen, and he will play in another NFL offense, only a little different, with Rich Scangarello coming in as offensive coordinator from the 49ers. So, as Greg said, it's easy to tell on film that he knows a lot about NFL concepts and he can operate. And I think that obviously was something that scouts will look for and will press scouts. I look for him to take a big jump. I thought he played pretty well last year, but I look for him to take a big jump this year, just being his second year in the program. And we got to watch, went to one of the spring practices where they opened it to the media, and I thought he threw a couple interceptions that day, but even then, I thought he looked, to me, he looked even more confident, more sure of himself in that practice. So, yeah, I'm looking for big things from Will this year.
John Clay joins us from the Herald Leader, Kentucky.com/sports. Find all their stuff there. I am a subscriber now. I do a show with Dan Issel, so I became a Herald Leader subscriber. There you go.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I think Will Levis is a big beneficiary of Josh Allen existing, because I think that people look at Will Levis and they think that he might be another Josh Allen if they can develop him a little bit. All right, I want to shift a little bit away from UK. Are you covering the Barbasol Championship?
I am. Okay. I will be out there this weekend, yes.
Is it always a win and in for the British Open?
No, this is the first year they've done that.
Okay.
Because in the past, it's been the same week as the British Open.
Right.
So therefore, it hadn't gotten a whole lot of national attention. Obviously, golf fanatics pay, it's been on the Golf Channel, and they pay attention to it. But this year, different because the winner does get an automatic bid in the British Open. And because of that, I was talking to Darren Nelson last week, the tournament director. They have up to 50 players from Europe off the European Tour who are playing, because they want to try and get that.
Awesome.
Who have not yet qualified, who haven't qualified for the British Open and want to try to get into the British Open. And then if they don't, there's a tournament, PGA tournament out in California next week, so they can stay over here and play there next week as well. So, a little different flavor this year to the Barbasol.
John, one of your colleagues at the Herald Leader retired just last week, Jerry Tipton, who'd been there for 41 years. I can't imagine doing the same thing for 41 years. But our good friend Ben Roberts, I guess, is going to take his place. Is that right?
That is correct. It was officially announced yesterday that Ben will be taking Jerry's place. Jerry and I, it's funny, I started at the – used to be two papers in Lexington, a morning and an afternoon paper, Lexington Herald. In the summer of 1981, I was still at UK, and their UK, the Herald's UK beat writer left, and they hired me to fill in the spot while they were looking for a replacement for the UK basketball beat writer. And at the end of that summer, they hired Jerry, and then I got hired full-time not too long after that. So we've been together a lot of years. He's been my travel partner on the road, especially since I became columnist in 2000. So, I'm going to miss Jerry for a lot of reasons. He did a fantastic job of Hall of Famer, but I think Ben will do a fantastic job as well. He's already shown that in the way he has covered UK basketball recruiting. He's done a terrific job, kind of set the template for us and for many others about how to do it on the internet. So, Ben's got big shoes to fill, but I think yep. He'll do an excellent job.
I had no idea that you had been there almost as long.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not quite as old as Jerry, but I've been there a lot. But I didn't do the same thing like Jerry for 41 years. So, I covered high schools, and like you said, I covered football and columnists. So, I'm like you. That seems almost unfathomable to do the same thing for that long and to do it as well as Jerry did it over the years.
So we asked Ben this question, so I'll ask it to you. With Jerry out of the way, John Clay gets to shine a little bit more. Will you start taking pictures of empty seats? And do you think there will be fake Twitter accounts about you?
I don't know. There'll be fake Twitter accounts about me. It's funny Jerry's pretty old school, so yeah. he never would look much at the comments or anything when people were upset about taking the empty seat pictures. But he told me that his two sons, they would tell him what the people were saying and complaining about the empty seat pictures. So I don't know if I'll pick up on that tradition or not. I might have to leave that to Ben.
Yeah, we'll throw Ben under the bus on that one. Another team you wrote about that has some local interest is the Reds. You write that the Reds their record is 27-52. John, how are they going to get better?
I thought they held the fire sale before the season began. So you knew they were not going to be very good. I didn't expect them to be quite this bad, although they did win last night. They're 28-52 right now after beating the Mets last night. I think they've got some good talent in the minor leagues, up and coming, especially on the pitching end, and we're starting to see some of that in the majors. Nick Lodolo came back from the injured list and pitched well last night. Hunter Green, his record's not very good in his ERA, but he's shown flashes that I think he's going to be really good down the road. To me, the big part of the problem with the Reds over the last few years is that they haven't stuck with a plan. They, we're going to do this, and then after a couple of years, they switch to something else. So hopefully they'll stick with a plan. But I think it's still going to be a while before you're going to see the Reds be competitive. I think they'll be competitive down the road. How long it takes to get there, I'm not real optimistic about.
A reminder, we are your home for the Reds as they play 34% baseball. 6:10, first pitch tonight here on 680, 105.7.
Hey, John, let's hope down the road it doesn't mean Nashville.
Well, yeah, there you go. That's true, too. Yeah, you hope that doesn't. I hope that doesn't happen, especially for somebody who's a longtime Reds fan. And they do have, they've got some young talent to watch, but they, they just don't have enough of it. And obviously the Castellini's commitment to spending money to help the franchise has been questioned as well. But, we'll see what happens. I'm hoping for the best, but we'll see what happens.
John, last one from me, and we really appreciate your time. It's always great when you come on with us. We'd be remiss if we didn't ask about the basketball team. Has this team got enough talent to compete for a national championship?
I think they've got plenty of talent, and I'm encouraged by the fact. They're going to have four seniors on the roster. When's the last time that happened with a Calipari team? And they've got guys who are back. They've helped the last couple of years by some grad transfers and transfers coming in, but it was their first year in the program. Now you've got transfers who, in Oscar, obviously Oscar Chibway, Sevier Wheeler, Jacob Toppett, who've been in the program for two or three years, and I think that carryover will help. I think, I wish they'd gotten one more player. I think they need another big guy, another power forward type. It's going to put a lot of pressure, I think, on somebody like Damian Collins to really develop. He's got a lot of skills, but how fast can he develop? But I think they'll be in the mix, when it comes down to tournament time. And we'll see. And I'm also anxious to see, and I asked a couple of players like this, and they kind of downplayed it. How much, you know, what happened with St. Peter's last year, at the end of last year, how much is that going to burn a fire in them that we don't want that to happen again? How much of that will be a motivation? So, you know, we'll see what happens. I think they're a player short, but I still think they're going to be in the mix.
All right, last one. Have to do a horse racing question on this show. We get Olympiad with a 111 buyer, wins the Stephen Foster last week at Churchill Downs. Is he, based on the evidence we have, the 5 for 5 this year and what we've seen, is he the Breeders' Cup favorite right now in the Classic?
I would think after the way he ran into Stephen Foster and what he's done this year, if he's not the favorite, he's got to be in the top two or three. Of course, they're spread out, so you really don't know. And the Breeders' Cup is at Keeneland this year. We'll see what happens. But that was a very, very impressive performance in the Stephen Foster. And obviously that buyer speed figure is off the charts. So I think he's certainly Olympiad's stamped himself as a major contender for November when it comes to Lexington.
All right, he's John Clay, Kentucky.com/sports. Find all of his stuff there at John Clay IV on Twitter as well. John, we really appreciate the visit. We'll talk down the line.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, John. John Clay, always an interesting read. He was talking about Oscar yesterday, Louie. I got a poster in the mail.
Oh.
I guess it was sent to all UK season ticket holders. And it's Oscar. It's about, I'm going to guess, 18 inches tall. And it's like Oscar is the Oscar trophy. They have him standing on the base of what would be an Oscar. And then him, being the Oscar part of it. I thought it was very clever and good for UK trying to promote him to be the National Player of the Year 2 years in a row.
There you go. By the way, if he did a podcast with Ben Roberts, I would listen.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it would actually be really interesting. So, no. Like once a week or whatever, just to kind of, even like 30, 45 minutes, whatever, it would actually get you caught up on everything going on at UK. I think that would be really interesting. So,
yeah,
John, if you're listening, go ahead and start that. You can thank me when you have the first episode.
No, that they should get together and do that. They, for a town the size of Lexington, and I guess Louisville, the Courier-Journal would be in the same category. I don't read much else besides a sports page in either paper, but I think we're pretty fortunate to have the writers and the columnists that we do on the sports section anyway for those two newspapers. I think they both do a really good job.
Yeah, especially on the UK side, now that I've gotten to talk with the guys and those sorts of things. It's a surprisingly good group of guys covering UK. So for sure.
Yep. Hey, a reminder that this hour of the show is brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. At Delta Dental, they believe everyone deserves a healthy and happy smile. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. Just call 1-800-955-2030. That's 1-800-955-2030. Or you can visit them online at ky.deltadental.com.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets.
The blood starts pumping here on Issa & Louie.
Was 9 to 5 before you were born?
I'm going to guess yes, just based on the style of music. He's Dan Issel. I'm Louie Rabeau, hanging out with Avery Dill. Here on 680-1057, text us at 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. A reminder for some of the programming coming up. Bob will be on after us at noon, then you get Sweezy and Streetle at 3. Cardinal Insider tonight, of course, every day, 5:30 to 6:30 on 93.9 The Villain on the app across the hall. Louisville Sports Live follows them now, 6:30 to 8, so you get a huge block of programming there. So if you are a U of L fan, I would suggest that's a 2.5-hour block of nonstop U of L talk. I think that's a really great opportunity. Frankly, with Mark Ennis right before them, go ahead and just get in there. I mentioned it earlier, Reds, Mets, 6-10 tonight, which means you get Jack Grossman from 6 to 10. And, of course, the local SB awards are up. You can text in those nominations as well, 437-9680. Team of the Year presented by QC Kinetics, Male and Female High School Athlete of the Year, Male and Female College Athlete of the Year, and the Perseverance Award. All of those have to be in by July 12th, so we're actually coming up, or at the end of this week, excuse me. We'll announce the finalists on July 12th. We'll start voting on July 15th, and those are the local SB awards presented by ESPN Louisville. So there you go, Dan. You excited about the old SB awards? Are you going to come back to town and hand out the awards?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's... Oh, man. Hey, what, you know, I think we have a hard time, and thanks to your hard work, we don't have a hard time. You have our show sheet full every day of things we can talk about. But what in the world do you talk about U of L for 2 hours a day? During, not disparaging U of L. There's just, what's going on at U of L?
Look, Dan, when you need to talk about offensive line depth, I mean, come on. Second, who's second on the depth chart at right guard? I mean, what are you doing? And you talk about that for 20 minutes. You understand me? You get deep in that right guard talk. Man. I could not do one of those shows. Like, that is not, like, I don't know that I could be on the 93.9 side of things, because I would rather do the variety of show that we do, where we literally get to talk about a variety of things. And so,
right.
I don't know that I could do that. And, God bless them. I mean, those guys really enjoy it. So hopefully,
It'll be fun. It'll be fun during the football season and the
Absolutely.
Basketball
yes.
season and the spring sports. But I don't know what you talk about. Well, you just said what they talk about. I that's got to be a hard show to do for 2 hours this time of year.
By the way, someone who listens every day just texted you in 437-9680. Should it, and this is what's interesting about the college realignment issue. And we're going to get to an article about the Eiffel Tower. Dan, have you been to the Eiffel Tower?
I have not.
Interesting. Okay. I would have lost that bet. Would you have thought Dan had been to the Eiffel Tower?
Maybe.
That is terrible radio. What are you doing? Maybe.
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 Oh, but also, I'm going to call you out for saying that you were not around when 9 to 5 was released, because it was released in 1980, and I guarantee you're older than that.
I was born in 1981.
Oh.
Yeah, after Reagan took office.
You grew up with it.
Oh, that song was, I'm sure my mom listened to it. Oh, of course. Yeah, no. I mean, it's not so removed from me, but that's a bad call out. That's a maybe and a bad call out back to back from Avery Dill. Look at that.
It's a day. I'm ready for my day off tomorrow.
There you go. We will miss Avery tomorrow, but we will talk about the Eiffel Tower after this. But text in. Should it be considered to just do away with all the conferences and open it back up to everybody? That would make the most sense. In the same way that if you started college sports over today, you wouldn't have these conferences the way that they do. The Olympic sports would be in much more regional conferences, right?
Yeah.
And then football would be in, you know, some kind of, you know, I don't know, like the 20 teams or 24 teams would all be in one conference, and that or not even a conference, in that league, and they would play for a national championship, right? There'd be 12 teams on each side or 16 teams on each side, whatever it would look like. And you would come out of that like a Major League Baseball or an NFL or something like that. That's how you would do it in the modern day. But like ice hockey wouldn't be attached to the Big Ten, for example. It would just be a regional sport, right? Volleyball wouldn't be attached to the SEC. It would just be a regional sport. And so, no, I mean, that's the ideal solution, is that you blow the whole thing up and you start over and you're smarter about it. But it simply isn't an option, because these teams have, these schools, I should say, whatever, have so much shared history, and they are so dug in on contracts and different things, that it doesn't make sense for a Northwestern to blow it up.
No,
it doesn't make sense for an Iowa to blow it up.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all about the branding. And that's the only flaw in the texter's question, is if you just did away with it, branding is very important. TV, as John Clay said, and everybody knows, TV runs the whole thing. And so they need the brand of the Big Ten or the SEC to get the kind of revenues to pay these rights fees. So I would think that was the only thing that would keep you from completely blowing it all up.
There you go. So, all right, so let's get to Dan's culture article of the day. No video here, just an article about the Eiffel Tower. So this makes me wonder, have you been to Paris then?
No. I've been blessed. Louis, I've been
all over the world, yeah.
I've been all over the world. I have been. Now, I've been to France,
okay.
but it was the eastern part of France in the Bordeaux region. One of the major cities in the whole wide world that I've never been to. I mean, I've been to London, I've been to Moscow, I've been to Tokyo, but I have never been to Paris, France.
So I want I encourage anyone listening who's ever interested in our cultural conversations.
Yeah, both of you.
Thank you. We get a lot of texts on these, actually. If you want to understand what the World's Fair used to be and what it became, look up the Eiffel Tower and what it looks like, because they built it for the 1900 World's Fair, right?
And see, the one thing I didn't know was where the name came from. I thought Eiffel Tower was named after some region or some part of Paris.
Oh, no.
It's named after the guy who built it.
You really didn't know that?
No. So because of that, it's misnamed. It shouldn't be Eiffel Tower. It should be Eiffel's Tower.
Okay, I like that. But it's go back and even look at the pictures, like how they built the long garden leading into the Eiffel Tower, and then look up the Montreal Olympic Stadium, which they also built for the World's Fair. And Avery's doing that right now. If you want to understand what happened to architecture in the 20th century, those two things from 1900 to the 1970s. We ruined architecture. and the Montreal Tower is one of the most hideous buildings in the world. And I spent a ton of time there as a kid, because like I told the story, my dad would take me to Expos games when we went to Montreal every year. And it is just not, it's awful. but the construction photos and stuff of the Eiffel Tower are really, really cool. But essentially, the Eiffel Tower is in need of a huge amount of work, Dan, because obviously it's made of iron and it's been in the elements for 100 years. Okay, Avery has seen the Montreal Tower.
Why does it look like an alien spaceship needs a donut?
70s, baby, that's why. Come on now, or late 60s, I guess, on that one. Oh, man, no, it's so true. Yeah, but Gustave Eiffel, of course, late 19th century, put together the 324-meter, 1,063-foot-high tower. Now, the reason I wanted to get into this isn't because I'm especially interested in the Eiffel Tower. Dan, you've been all over the world, and you've seen landmarks and monuments. There are some in the world that people tell you about. Like, they tell you about Big Ben. It's really, like, not an interesting tower. It's just a tower with a clock on it.
Yeah,
like, that one's
exactly.
Not interesting. The Eiffel Tower, though, in person is unbelievable. I mean, it's insane. It's beautiful. Are there things in the world that you were excited to see? Do you remember any of these that you got there and you went, oh, that's it? Like the Rose Bowl, right? You talked about that earlier.
Yeah,
that's actually a good
the
example,
Rose
right?
Bowl. There are a couple of things that fascinate me. One of the best trips I took was to Israel and seeing the history and, you know, to walk some of the places where Jesus might have walked. That, to me, that was the most interesting trip I've ever taken. The one that I stood with my mouth open was the pyramids. How in the world, Louis, did they build the pyramids without any mechanical help at all? I mean, how did those poor people get those huge rocks in place at that time to build the pyramid? It's really, really interesting to me.
I'm very jealous. That is a place I would love to go. I mean, just absolutely love to go. I feel the exact same way about Machu Picchu when we were there. How did they get those rocks up the mountain? They've proven that the rocks are actually from the other side of the valley.
So,
I mean, what? I mean, just how much time it must have taken to build that place, and they picked the exact perfect spot to do it. So I guess if I have an ancient pyramid kind of thing, it would be those sorts of things. But it's interesting that they're so reliant on tourism in Paris that they don't want to shut the tower down.
Yeah. Right. Well, and that makes sense. You know, let it fall down when it's full of tourists. That'll be interesting. They say the thing is falling apart, but they're not going to close it because they'd lose too much revenue. So what they're going to do, like any good decorator, Louis, is they're going to slap a new coat of paint on it. And hope that holds it together.
There you go. By the way, texter texted and just had a big time remote IT job interview over the phone. And as someone who stutters, those phone interviews can be terrifying. Listening to you and Dan calms the nerves, especially if you guys are talking horses. Love the show. Thank you. Well, thank you for texting in and thanks for listening, hanging out with us. Appreciate
That's
it.
Very nice. It is very nice. That's very nice.
I have my own language quirks, and I'm sure, Dan, if you've ever listened back to yourself, you go, wow, I can't believe I do that on the radio or when I'm broadcasting or whatever. Yep. And I have those things as well. We talk about them around the office, actually. Everyone's crutch, the things that they say over and over again. And so we're getting more texts in about this, the things that you saw in a person that were really remarkable. I said that the Eiffel Tower was awesome, but Big Ben was kind of like, oof. Old Faithful in Yellowstone coming down on the text line. It's a 5-minute look. It's a very big letdown. Not the park, but Old Faithful is definitely a letdown. That's interesting.
Now, have you ever been there, Louis?
I have not been to Yellowstone. Now, I will say, I went to I've only been to the Rockies in Colorado and in Alberta because, you know, I used to go to hockey camp in Alberta, and Banff National Park might be the most beautiful place I've ever been.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when you get up in those mountains, man, it's different. It's beautiful.
Yeah, but I agree. The Yellowstone is really pretty.
Yeah.
We have been there on several occasions, but I agree with the texter. You stand there for about 15, 20 minutes, and Old Faithful goes off for 5 minutes, and then that's the end of it. You go to the Old Faithful gift shop. But
for longer than 5 minutes, yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's great.
But yeah, so I'm sure you've been to Las Vegas. Have you been there since they built the Paris?
Yes.
Yeah. So that one's actually pretty cool too. They did a good job with that one.
Yeah, we were in Vegas just a few months ago. We were in Vegas for Derby. We were there for Derby
that's
Day.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't bet on it, right?
I told you
they
about
work it out this year.
No, I was on my TVG account.
Okay,
they did
good.
Work.
Yeah, okay.
They did work it out. You were able to go to the book and bet.
Got it. Yeah.
I stayed. Have you not heard about my score?
No.
Did I not tell you about that?
Oh, let's talk scores. Let's go.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. So so it's Oaks Day. And if you can remember back to the Oaks, there was a pick five that the Oaks was in the middle. And so two races before the Oaks, the winner paid like $4. I use that as a single. I said, I'm either going to be alive with some coverage, or I'm going to, you know, throw it out. So I singled the first race, paid four something. The second race paid seven something, the race before the Oaks. The Oaks is run, and we were in our room watching it on TV with Sherry and Scott and Sheridan and some of their family that were there for the baseball game. They run the Oaks, Secret Oath wins, and she paid 12-something.
Yeah.
So now I've got a $4 horse, a $7 horse, and a $12 horse going in my pick five. Well, Scott, everybody leaves me. They go down to, you know, play some games. Oh, I know what they were doing. They were betting hockey. There were some hockey games coming up. So they went to the book to bet on hockey. And I'm in the room all by myself. And the race after the Oaks, I want to say was $9.
Okay.
So now I don't have an all in the last race, but I've got good coverage. I've got like half the field.
Okay.
And the winner was a first time starter that paid $60. Oh. It was a 30-1 shot. So now I've got the pick five with a $4 and something, seven and something, 12 and something, nine and something, and $62. So I'm thinking, you know, this pick five could pay a little something. What do you think the pick five paid?
I think it was $2,100, wasn't it?
$17,000. It's I when you know, I've got my phone. You know, and I'm waiting to see what my account
Oaks
goes
Oaks Day, up. I'm thinking Derby Day. Yeah, Oaks Day was different. You're right. Yeah.
17,634, I think, if I remember it correctly. So I'm looking at my phone, and, you know, I had some money left over in the account because I'm waiting the next day for Derby. But, you know, so I'm expecting my account to go up to $4,000 or $5,000, and it goes up to $21,000. It was the biggest score I've ever made at a race. And what was really funny is Scott had my son Scott earlier in the day. I had missed out on a pick four or a pick five. And he said, you know, Dad, you're really stupid. He said, if you would just play race by race, but you, with these multiple ragers, he said, you don't cash. And so he and Sherry walked back into the room. And I said, Scott, you know, you're right. That late pick four, or late pick five, paid $17,000. He said, see, I told you. And I handed them my phone.
Attaboy. I love it.
Yeah. So then next day on Derby Day, I played pick fours and pick fives and didn't hit anything. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, horse racing giveth and horse racing taketh away, right?
So, exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, just setting up the show the rest of the week. This is Issel and Louie's Day at Issel. I'm Louie Rabot. We'll have our normal spot with Ben Roberts and Jay Davis tomorrow. I know that. The funniest thing I think has happened is that I get excited to talk to Ben Roberts and you get excited to talk to Jay Davis. And I always thought it would be the opposite, but whatever. It's the show. And then Friday, we're going to do our normal horse racing thing. And I think we're switching up co-hosts for Friday. And I think Ron Flatter is probably going to be in on Friday.
Oh, okay.
And so we'll get Ron in here.
Okay.
That might be a rotating thing. We just had kind of a little bit of a shakeup. In the Friday rotation, just some conflicting schedules and different things. So,
well, and we've got a lot of nice races to talk about. You mentioned the Indiana Derby, but there's some big races at Belmont Park too. Yep. The three-year-old colts and 3-year-old fillies on the grass for big money. And what's amazing is the number of European horses that are coming over. I think the Belmont for 3-year-old colts. I think there's like 5 horses that are coming from Europe to run in it. So that'll be fun to talk about, too.
It's fun to watch those East Coast races because it does. I think you're right. The trainers overseas feel pretty comfortable shipping to the East Coast now and hitting those fields. So, yeah, there's a grade one in race 7. There's actually a pick 3 from race 7 to race 9, all graded stakes, grade 3, grade 1, and grade 1. But, yeah, that Belmont Oaks, which is always on the grass, and then the Belmont Derby. So not the Belmont Stakes, but the Belmont Derby going 1.25 miles on that inner turf course as well. But yeah, so we'll go ahead and talk about those. But what I'll do as well, I'll have Rachel McLaughlin from Indiana, from Horseshoe, call in as well. Give us a little bit of an update on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Horses. I see her on TVG all the time.
Right. Yeah. So we'll go ahead and do that. She's a big fan. We are mutually fans of one another. How's that? And so I'll have Rachel call in and she can kind of update us on what she's hearing from trainers and jockeys and different things on the ground up there. And then, of course, if you're so inclined, you can find us at Horse Happy Hour on Saturday. We'll be doing a live broadcast up there as well.
Hey, Louie, did you see where Florent Giroux is going to go to Del Mar and ride?
I did see that.
What's that all about?
Oh, I think it was either go to Ellis or get those guaranteed mounts at Del Mar, and I think he's going to make a lot of money at Del Mar.
You got to
remember that Southern California jockey colony is not as strong as it used to be. So if you're a guy like Florent Giroux, you can actually be a big fish, small pond there now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the best jockey on the West Coast, Flavian Pratt, is now in New York.
That's
and
right.
Just killing them up there.
I think there's a chance that he goes up there and he wins the Saratoga title this summer, first time out. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know, one of the Ortiz has won the Eclipse Award for Jockey of the Year for the last 4, 5, 6 years running. I think he might. Well, Rosario won it 1 year, but I think he might have a big shot at that as well.
So, by the way, it is Witch Wednesday around here. I'm watching the guys start to run toward the back of this place, witchwitch.com, and on the app. Visit them at their locations here in Louisville as well. There's one right by my house on Hurstburn, and you can always find them in New Albany on Grant Line Road. And there's one out, another one just north of where I live, actually, out on the East End near the Paddock Shops. And so witchwitch.com and on the Witch Witch app. The app does have a bunch of, I don't even know how to say it, Ravy, but, you know, if you buy enough sandwiches, they give you a sandwich for free, essentially. There's rewards on the app, if you will. So witchwitch.com, and we thank those guys for bringing lunch by the ESPN Louisville studios.
Now, do you ever have that delivered to your house, Louie?
I don't know that I've had it delivered just because I can drive there so easily.
Okay, yeah. Well, and plus it would be hard for the delivery guy to get through the enclave where you live. I mean, it's a gated community, isn't it?
Where I live?
Yeah.
So I also have a security team, a couple armed Humvees out front. Get out of here. Gated community.
All I know is if I was your neighbor, I'd think you were a cheap rascal. Not putting your own pool in and coming over with a six pack and thinking you can use my pool.
Yeah,
anytime.
I'm that guy. That's right. Yeah. I love that I went from best dad on the planet to cheapskate in 2 hours. I'm just straight from the top to the bottom with Dan Issel. There you go.
Oh, man.
But good stuff. So, Dan, you're going to be back in town soon, of course.
Yep.
And is there anything we can actually announce on that front? Have they made anything official?
No. Okay. It's not official yet, but the plans for Mike's memorial are well underway, and it'll probably be as soon as we have a date and a place in Lexington, we'll announce it. But it'll probably happen within the next 2 or 3 weeks. So we'll come back in for a week around that time. And then, of course, I'm going to be back the first 2 weeks in September, Louie. We're going to do the show from down at Kentucky Downs.
Right.
And we're going to go to the day at the races that Brian and the people at Southern Liquors have down there, and be back for the horse sale. So I'll be back in Kentucky for 2 or 3 weeks the first part of September.
Avery doesn't even know. Dan's staying at my house. I had no idea. He just dropped it in my lap. I need a place to crash. I need a car. He's making me rent him a car. It's brutal knowing Dan Issel, I'll tell you what.
Sometimes you just gotta tell a person, hey, I'm staying at your house.
No, that's right. I'm just coming in, crashing. I'm gonna be buying some horses. I need to keep the horses in your backyard. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, we don't do that. We don't do that because Sherry snores. So wait.
Oh, man. Poor Sherry's catching shrapnel today, man. Needing to do vitality and snoring. And good gosh, man. Oh, man. Poor Sherry.
Oh, that's great. Man. So, yeah, as soon as we have something solid on Mike's memorial, we'll let everybody know.
Yeah. So we'll get to that in a couple of weeks, but make sure you're back with us tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Issel and Louie, we will welcome in Ben Roberts and Jay Davis. We'll talk a little bit of UK. I think there's actually a lot on the recruiting front. The pay sites, by the way, Dan, are starting to make it seem like DJ Wagner isn't a sure thing to Louisville.
Really?
So how about that? Those were also the people that told us Damani Bates was going to Michigan. So high five for them. Good job.
You know, I'm getting, I think we're past the point of panicking for this year with Louisville's roster. But have they signed anybody for next year?
Yeah, they signed a no-star guard. Who's got a great name, and Fabio, I think, is his name.
That's a terrible adjective. A no star guard.
Yeah, it's not good.
Well, they need to start making a dent in this to get some other people involved. I think if DJ Wagner would announce that he was coming to Louisville, you know, there'd be some other people that would fall in line. So they need to get somebody. They need to get a star to start filling up this recruiting class.
Yeah, the ideal situation for them is that he commits this summer and they can start building around him for 2023.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. All right. Well, I hear. hear the music. We will be back again tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock with Ben Roberts, Jay Davis, Mr. Rabeau, and me. And we hope you are, too. So we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.